I guess we have Ron's presentation on the machine, right? Where is Ron? Okay. We want to use yours? Okay. Thank you, Roman. So we're going to plug in Ron's. All right.
Yeah.
Ron Abelera is a senior Azure architect at Microsoft. He is the HD Insight Big Data technical lead in the U.S. for the incubation group at Microsoft. Ron has spent his entire time at Microsoft in the cloud since joining the company in 2012, helping customers with workloads ranging from HPC to infrastructure as a service to custom platform as a service cloud services, and now to Hadoop Big Data. Previously, Ron served as senior architect, office of the CTO at OnPoint Technologies, and before that, as senior consultant, data center and HPC practice at PCPC Direct. And before that, as software project manager at Hewlett Packard. Please welcome Ron Abelera to the Cloud Developer Summit and Expo.
Thank you, thank you. All right, let me just get set up here real quick. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Perfect. Got presentation up and running. It's my laptop sliding off. Let me try to remove this one. I'm good. Thank you very much. All right. Let me just try to find my PowerPoint. Okay, all right. Let's get connected one more time. Wrong monitor. Let's see. There we go. So good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining my session. So I'm Ron Abelera. I'm with Microsoft. I've been working with Azure, which is Microsoft's public cloud, and I'll kind of delve into a little bit more of that here in a few minutes. First of all, just thank you for attending this session. I know that there's been a lot of attendees in the other room, so for the folks who actually made it to this room, I appreciate your time and effort. I'm a typical, usually I'm the guy on the other side of the podium here, so I try to keep my presentations at a minimum, so I try to keep mine 10 slides or less. I'm going to focus a little bit more on demos and actual real-world stuff instead of just seeing stuff that's on a slide. So I want to try to keep this as conversational as possible. So I'm a technologist, as like many of you guys, so slides really don't, it's not where the rubber hits the road. So if you all have any questions, feel free to hit me with them while I'm over here. So once again, thanks for the introduction. I work with Microsoft in the Azure cloud. I do have some content that's available on OneDrive, so feel free to get that content. So go to that link, aka.ms/roncloudaustin. So it has a copy of the slide deck. It actually has some contents as far as like some DevOps scripts, some PowerShell scripts if you want to create some HDI clusters, and I'll explain a little bit more about that. Also, there are some free Azure passes. So who actually made it to the Microsoft workshop this morning? I think there was only a handful. Okay, great. There was some passes that were handed out. Essentially what these passes will do is they'll give you free access to Azure. So that could be anything from virtual machines to big data clusters. Who doesn't like free? All right, thank you. So those are some free passes. He has some on some pieces of paper, but there's also an Excel document. There's over 100 codes. So I don't see 100 people here, so there's gonna be more than plenty to go around. So feel free to grab one of those codes and actually start up your own little cluster for yourself, okay? So I'm gonna start off a little bit of Hadoop on Azure. Since there hasn't been a whole lot of folks who attended the Azure session this morning, I'll gloss over just one slide of what Azure is and then kind of dive a little bit deeper as far as HD Insight, which is one of the big data plays that we have at Microsoft. Talk a little bit, some real world scenarios, how customers are using it. And then I'll show you some live demos and how you can actually use this. There are some code snippets that you can use that you can go ahead and start creating, maybe like a little big data app for your organization, something that that you may actually find useful. I'll do a Twitter demo here in a little bit. So there's lots of different code snippets that you can actually use on your own. Use it with that free Azure pass and have that apply to whatever industry or vertical that you're in, okay? All right. So this is, I'm going to breeze through these slides, but for those folks who aren't familiar with Azure, Azure is both our infrastructure as a service cloud offering as well as a platform as a service offering. And this is one of the key slides that I use when I evangelize the customers, because what they're mostly familiar with, if they're not in the cloud today, is this left column. So if you're familiar with IT, you know that there's a hardware stack involved, from servers to storage to networking. And then there's operating systems. If you run a virtualization layer, you have to contend with that as well. Then you have to deal with the runtimes, middleware, your application, and your data. All those pieces combined help create that solution. But as most organizations, especially some of the large, more complex ones, like your Fortune 50s, Fortune 100s, there's multiple groups involved. That's why I typically run into large customers that will say, hey, it literally takes us 6 months to get pre-production equipment. I've actually had customers that tell me it takes 9 full months to get production equipment. So imagine what kind of progress a project's can get, or lack of progress projects can get to if they don't have that right equipment to even get started. And that's just from the infrastructure side, let alone all the consulting work that has to be done, all the work that has to be done with maintaining the software, et cetera. So this is what customers are familiar with today. Let's see, is there a laser pointer here? This is what customers are familiar with today. And so Azure is infrastructure as a service and platform as a service. This is where we're different than a lot of our competitors. You're probably familiar with Amazon Web Services. They're primarily in the infrastructure as a service space. They're big. They're definitely the number one leader in this category today. Microsoft is number two, but we're definitely trying to catch up as much as possible. What we do differentiate is being able to provide platform as a service capabilities. And really the difference is that we're taking these building blocks, right? We're not just managing just the hardware and storage underneath and just providing you an operating system. We're now adding that middleware layer. So this is great for developers, right? Because who's ever seen a dev organization and IT service organization really work well together? Usually that's not the case because usually developers don't like talking to IT guys because there's always that clash as far as, hey, I need more resources, or no, you shouldn't need more resources because I don't have any to give you, or I don't want to manage any more of the stuff that you spin up today and leave on and never use ever again. So from a organizational standpoint, we see a lot of IT guys stay in this realm, infrastructure as a service, provisioning VMs, and then developers love this aspect. So from a platform as a service, our big data, which is HD Insight, and that's just a fancy marketing term for Hadoop on Azure, that is a platform as a service. Because what I'll show you here in a little bit is that a Hadoop cluster, which is typically a very consulting, demanding type of job to be able to provision an entire cluster, could take weeks, could take months to do. And I'll actually show you how to do that in 15 to 20 minutes. Okay? And just to kind of complete the stack, like I said, these are the three major cloud delivery models. This is software as a service. Azure doesn't really fall into that, so I'm not going to focus too much on that. Just so, if anything that you can take away from this session, Azure is an infrastructure as a service and platform as a service offering to our customers. Okay? Quick marketing slides. I saw that AWS did the same thing in the other session, that they're in the Magic Quadrant in the IaaS side. Well, we're the other competitor in the Magic Quadrant as well, not just on the infrastructure as a service side, but we're the only one along with Salesforce in the platform as a service side. I didn't show you the on-premise version as well, but we're also in the Magic Quadrant in that as well as the Magic Quadrant leader, one of the leaders with cloud storage. So four different pieces of the cloud that we're all in the Magic Quadrant in, so that's one key differentiator that we have. So that's Azure in a nutshell. So hopefully you guys know where sort of the baseline is before we start getting into more of a solution and what kind of things you could do in Azure. Okay? So why Hadoop in the cloud? So who's familiar or who's heard of the term Hadoop? Good. Figured this since a big data conference, I just want to make sure. Hadoop has definitely been the industry standard when it comes to big data. So Microsoft actually had started creating its own, but we obviously saw the momentum in the Hadoop space. So we decided to partner with Hortonworks. So there's really two main leaders in the Hadoop distribution space right now. It's Hortonworks, which with their HDP, their Hortonworks data platform, as well as Cloudera. There's some other players, but those are the top two in the Magic Quadrant as well. So what we ended up doing is Microsoft said, hey, we want to just go ahead and just say, hey, we're becoming more of an open source company. Who actually knew that? Who knew that Microsoft is kind of going away from the traditional box software, proprietary stuff, and starting to do more with open source technology? I see one hand. I see two. So that's great stuff, because we have a bad image, and I have to admit, working at Microsoft, we have some hatred from other companies because of that kind of mentality, but we're definitely changing as a company. We have a new CEO, a new way to expand into cloud and mobility strategies, and this is one way. In big data, we understand Hadoop is king right now, and we want to be part of that. So Microsoft has been contributing to the open source community. So if you look at the Apache Software Foundation, you'll actually see contributions from Microsoft. So we've added a lot of benefits to the open source stack, where some of the distributions have actually migrated off from the open source, and they've started making their own proprietary stuff. And that's the reason why we chose Hortonworks, is because Cloudera was sort of branching off from the main open source branch and doing some of their own proprietary stuff, and that's why we stuck with Hortonworks. Question? Absolutely. So there's you're very familiar with Hadoop already. There's a lot of different projects. So there's everything from Yarn to Spark to Storm. We are HDP compliant. So pretty much anything that Hortonworks comes out with currently right now, I think they're at HDP 2.1. We contain all those packages. So it takes about 2 weeks before that that package gets out, and then we do some QA and testing within Azure. And then we basically provide that HDP as a service. So I can talk to you offline as far as some of the Spark capabilities that we have, but just in a nutshell, what you see in HDP, whether you run it on-premise or in infrastructure as a service, you can also run it in a platform as a service. And now you can get all those benefits, right? Because now you can have unlimited scale. Most of the POCs I have are limited by an on-premise. They only have 10 nodes available. Well, that kind of limits what you can do. Right? What if I need 100 nodes for my proof of concept or for my production environment? I've run into many of those instances as well. So that kind of gives you a benefit. So think of HD Insight as just Microsoft's marketing term for Hortonworks data platform as a service. Okay? Oh, look, I've already breezed through that already. Who's more a relational database guy versus an unstructured big data type of person? We got some relational folks? Okay. Just for those who are trying to figure out still what constitute big data, there's just three V's that you can follow. This is a pretty much standard industry way to determine what should be in a relational database versus an unstructured, maybe NoSQL type of store, type of platform like Hadoop. And that's the three V's: volume, velocity, and the variety as well. Okay, so I won't gloss over that, or I will gloss over that. So how are customers using HD Insight today? HD Insight is just one of the many services, one of the many platform services that's hosted in Azure. We also have another one called Azure Machine Learning. So for those folks who are familiar with like Mahout or Mahout, however you want to pronounce that, that's a machine learning libraries packages within the Hadoop framework. We've been able to do something very similar as a service. So we call all that Azure Machine Learning. But we can put those together, and we can actually provide some really, really cool stuff for our customers. Okay, so I'll go ahead and show you a quick YouTube clip on what that's about. And hopefully the audio here is working, and my MiFi has got a good connection.
One of the reasons why I think our customers love Pier 1 is we are their neighborhood store. With over 1,000 stores in US and Canada, it really allows our stores to be very close to the customer. But we know that the way she is shopping is different today.
All right, let me hold on 1 second. I'm not sure what happened there. Let me reproject it. For some reason, it decided to have two monitors at that instance.
All right. So our omnichannel.
One of the reasons why I think our customers love Pier 1 is we are their neighborhood store. with over 1,000 stores in US and Canada. It really allows our stores to be very close to the customer. But we know that the way she is shopping is different today.
Our omnichannel initiative is called One Pier One and is all about changing our business to match the ever-evolving, changing customer.
We want our customer to be able to shop when, where, and how she wants.
Pier One is a very, very data-driven company. The goal really is how we can leverage that data and use it to have a better relationship with our customer.
There's been a revolutionary change in data analytics. It wasn't that long ago where you needed really big computers and really big servers to do big data.
I was excited to be able to talk about the possibilities of Azure Machine Learning for predictive analytics. We were able to take the data that they have to be able to help them predict which product the customer might want to purchase next and invite her back to the brand for something that they know she'll love.
With the Microsoft Cloud, we're able to quickly upload our data, ask the questions, get the insights, and then operationalize that data so that we can execute against it. Whether it's an email campaign or a direct mail campaign, we don't want to fill up our customers' inboxes with offers that are not relevant to her.
If we can target our message specifically to what speaks to her, specifically what are the items that she's most passionate about, that she really cares about, that she's shopping for, and target a message specifically for her, that allows us to create a more personal experience for the customer.
Marketing is really, to me, a combination of data and art. So it's kind of the science and the art that makes marketing. As much as I can get better data to improve the science side, it makes the art side that much more impactful.
All right. So this is a very typical use case when it comes to Hadoop. So you have a lot of customers that are trying to find out more insights, right? That's the reason why we call it HD Insights. We're using Hadoop and trying to find more insights to the customer's data. And a lot of it is already existing data. So Pier One, which happens to be one of my customers, you know, they have data, whether you're clicking on different items on their website or even just on the same page of different items that may be related, right? So maybe they didn't purchase anything. But some of those insights that you can gather regarding clicks or how much time you've spent on a page, those are really key learnings that you can get and be able to apply it not just for that one particular customer, but for other customers who have similar interests. So we've taken a lot of that data that would just happen to be sitting on servers as web logs, right? Combine that with different analytics that we've gotten from other pieces of data. Now we can make recommendations. So another use case for Hadoop is being able to create recommendation engines. And the part where the machine learning comes in is that there's some really, really PhD level, and I can't even explain what some of this stuff does, is that there's a lot of algorithms out there that will help classify some of that data to be a lot more insightful as some of this just generic stuff out there. So that's another key thing about machine learning is that you'll see a lot of machine learning libraries out there, but how to use it, what does it mean, becomes very, very tricky. And that's really the value proposition of what Azure is bringing to our customers is that we want to make this as a service. So you may have seen this little slide, but we can create different workflows based on what are some of the key learnings and then maybe apply actions to that. So it's not just being able to ingest data, do calculations on that data, but also make different actions based on that. And one of the things that was mentioned is email campaigns, right? So once we get more information about different customers, then we can send them targeted email campaigns regarding specific products or services that they may be interested in, right? And then the other aspect of that as well is that some of these email campaigns may be for a broad set of users, but how do you get that information as far as if that email campaign or whatever marketing campaign is effective? So that's the other demo that I wanted to show to you, and this is something that you can definitely take home where you can spin up one of these free HD Insight clusters and start applying it to your industry. So let me see. So notice that I'm also using a Firefox browser. Man, why is there two screens again? It likes extending my screen for some reason. I apologize for that. Yeah, so one thing I was mentioning earlier is that is Microsoft is becoming more open source friendly.
know, it's not just about making sure that things work on the Microsoft platform. I'm actually a regular avid, you know, Firefox user, for example, and I use IE as a side. But this is just to go to show, you know, from a Microsoft perspective, you know, we're becoming, you know, more device agnostic, service agnostic. We're using industry standards. So a lot different. It's a change of pace for a lot of people who are used to the Microsoft of old. But as far as what we're trying to do in the cloud, it's definitely a new world. So let me show you real quickly, just Azure in general. Let me see, it's zoomed up a little too much. So once you get one of these Azure accounts, you can go ahead and get access to the Azure portal, which then is basically a self-service portal for you to be able to deploy anything that you want from an IaaS or PaaS perspective. So it could be VMs, it could be websites, it could be Hadoop clusters, or it could be high-performance computing machines. It doesn't really matter. Everything within Azure is pay for what you use when you use it. So it's an operational expense model. It's not a, you know, here, you buy something up front, you may use it, you may never. So, but we're just charging you for what you use. So I have a lot of customers that have those bulk workload capacities that, you know, they only need it from 5 p.m. to 8 a.m. in the evening. So Azure's definitely good for that. So once you get one of those Azure passes, you'll have access to this portal. Then let me go straight to this. This is the management portal where it shows you all the stuff that you've provisioned. Let me zoom in real quick so that way you can see it a little bit better. So it kind of looks like Outlook a little bit. We try to make it as simple as possible, where you just basically pick whatever you want to provision on the left-hand pane, and then you'll see what's already provisioned on this middle pane right here. This is all HTML5. This isn't Silverlight or anything like that. Another way that we're showing that we're using, you know, industry standard technology. So you know, for all those folks who've known Microsoft longer than, you know, 5 to 10 years, this is probably, you know, very, very interesting where Microsoft is heading, right? So my focus is on the big data side. So notice that I'm pointed to the HD Insight. It has a picture of an elephant, because that's the traditional Hadoop icon that is very familiar for big data users. So what I'm going to show you is basically how quickly you can spin up a Hadoop cluster, both in the GUI, and if you're a DevOps guy, how you could do it through scripts. And those scripts are also available on that OneDrive link I sent you earlier. So to be able to create a cluster, you just click on the nice elephant, this big plus new button, right? So you don't have to be an IT expert to know how to do this stuff. So I can do a traditional Hadoop cluster if I want to run MapReduce. I could do an HBase cluster if I want to, right? Or do Storm, or I could even do a custom create. Then I just choose, like, hey, a number of nodes. So on HBase, and this is also something that you can limit by your quota as well. So you can give access to users, say, hey, you know, I don't want Ron to spin up 100 nodes needlessly, so I'm just going to limit him. But I can also do a custom create here, where it's not just a one pager I have to fill up. I can actually give it a name. Let's say Austin Cloud Test, right? So this is going to be the name of my cluster. I can choose multiple subscriptions if I wanted to. I can choose the type of Hadoop cluster. I'm going to choose HBase. Who's familiar with HBase? It's a NoSQL store. Once again, it's another open source thing. So this is not SQL or anything like that. It's actually a pretty powerful, scalable NoSQL in-memory store. You know, Facebook uses it, Twitter uses it, and I'm going to use this as sort of a backend to do a Twitter sentiment analysis that I'll show you here in a little bit. Okay. So here's what I mentioned earlier as far as the HDP versions. Since we work closely with the Hortonworks folks, this is their version. It's HDP 2.1. So as I mentioned, it's the Hortonworks as a service. So I'm just going to go create that, say how many nodes I want. I could put 100, but I don't want to pay for the bill right now because it's on my credit card. So I'm just going to keep it at 4. One thing about the cloud, I mean, this is something that's also been, you know, just a myth with, you know, movies and all sorts of things. Like, I don't know where my data is, right? There's a popular movie that came out not too long ago where someone was concerned about, you know, a very private movie going up to the cloud and they didn't know where it was. With Azure, you get to choose exactly where your data resides because we comply with all the industry standards. We're HIPAA, SSAE 16, FedRAMP compliant. So all the top level certifications out there, Azure's already there. So you choose where your data resides.
There's many different locations in the United States. You could also choose different parts of Asia or Europe. So you get to decide as a customer where that will go. Since we're in Austin, South Central US is the best place to go because one of the hubs of the internet actually sits in San Antonio. I'm not sure if you knew that. That's a lot, the reason why there's a lot of hosting providers and data centers that are hosted in San Antonio. Microsoft's, we have actually a couple of data centers in San Antonio as well. So I'll just go and choose South Central. Okay, I'm just going to give it a name. Rocks. Strong password. Let's see if I remembered how to do it twice. Okay. The nice thing about Azure, too, is that the storage, right? That's another pain point of customers today is setting up SANs, setting up replication. You know, how do I keep from having to spend too much time swapping out hard drives? This is a managed service. Okay, it's triple replicated in every data center. So I choose San Antonio. So my data already has three copies in case a bad hard drive goes bad. We automatically do that in the back end and change it out for you. You could also choose a geo-replicated option where you'll get three copies in San Antonio and then three copies in a partner data center, right? You don't have to mess with replication technologies or have to figure out how to get another WAN circuit to be able to get more bandwidth to a secondary data center. That's all taken care of you by Microsoft here. So this is the storage that I created earlier. I'm just gonna call it big data. This is a container. So think of it as like a folder structure or a root folder structure in this particular case, where you can start putting that unstructured or structured data. Okay? So I'm just going to use the Twitter container just, you know, for fun. Okay? And that's it. So it's a GUI, so, you know, a nice little wizard to create a whole cluster. And here in a few minutes, I'll actually show you this cluster live up and running if I have time. I can show you an existing cluster that's already pre-built as well. So that's the GUI side of things. So for who are the developers in the room? We got some developers, DevOps folks. Who doesn't like using a GUI? I guess is another question. Okay. All right, yeah, since you gave the DevOps talk earlier, you should be this should be right up your alley. Yeah, so that nice thing too is that if you also go to azure.com, you'll see that we have SDKs, not just for Visual Studio. If you want to write Node.js, if you want to write Java, PHP, whatever that you want, we have SDKs for pretty much all of those, which is another thing about what Microsoft is doing. So even if you don't have Visual Studio, if you want to use Eclipse, if you're a Linux developer, you could do that as well. Apple folks, I'm not sure if there's a SDK yet or not, so sorry, I'm not sure. I'm sure there is one, I'm just not aware of what that is. Okay, so here's let me see if this is in the right. Yep, so I've got a bunch of scripts here. This is just to kind of show you how easily, you know, customers can spin up entire infrastructures, right? Instead of all of that stuff in the background where it would have taken weeks or months to provision, I could write a simple script. Same thing what I showed you earlier in the GUI. So instead of four different windows, I could just run it here in one script. Okay, so this is the same thing that I did earlier. I'll just run this, so it'll create another cluster. I'm just going to call this Austin HBase Cluster V2. I'm just going to choose, let's just do four nodes since I did four nodes earlier. Okay, I'm just going to run that script. Okay, it's going to authenticate with Azure. So there are some security mechanisms in place. Then it's going to ask me for a user for that cluster. So I use Austin Rocks. Give it a strong password. And this will be the local admin password for that cluster. So once this authenticates, it'll actually start provisioning a four-node cluster in the San Antonio data center. So pretty much exactly everything I did earlier in the GUI, I did it in a CLI environment. This is still a GUI type of CLI, but if I wanted to use a true CLI, I could do that. It's the same type of commands. So whether you're a developer or a true infrastructure guy who doesn't like to use code or anything like that, both options are available for you. Okay? All right. So while that's running, and I'll show you here in the portal, right? Let me refresh this. I should have at least one cluster that's already pre-provisioned, what I had provisioned just last night. And then there should be two that should be in process. Okay. Hopefully my MiFi has still got a good signal. Okay, while that's loading, let me show you the... Come on, you can do it. Faster. Faster. All right, so let me go back to the PowerPoint real quick while that's loading up. Let me go ahead and get the next one started. So essentially, from an architectural standpoint, this is what Azure's doing in the background for you. So who's, you know, I've heard a lot of Chef and Puppet, that sort of stuff. Azure still integrates with that as well. So if you want to deploy entire environments using some of that, we hook into those as well. But basically, from an architectural standpoint, this is what's being provisioned in Azure, right? All that in literally 15 to 20 minutes. So, right, in a typical environment, right, you would have to set up storage. One of the key things, like I said, with the storage is that it's triple replicated. And the other nice thing is that it's also persistent. This is one key feature that we have over a traditional Hadoop cluster is that this storage account right here can actually be used for multiple Hadoop clusters. So today, you create a Hadoop cluster with an HDFS store. You're limited with that. So if you tear down that cluster, too bad, your HDFS goes away. Different with Azure. That blob storage, which is basically back-ending what HDFS is doing, is persistent. So not only can I resize clusters at will, which is, gives you the dynamic capability of the cloud, so I could have, hey, I don't want to pay for a large cluster. I could have two-node cluster running in the evening and then 100-node cluster during the day. Same storage, and you're only paying for the difference in compute. So that's definitely a big differentiator for HD Insight. The other differentiator too is that, you know, multiple clusters can access the same storage. So it's a lot of different benefits that Microsoft has added to the Hadoop framework by the virtue of our collaboration with Hortonworks and adding, you know, some cloud specific, you know, advantages that you would have over an on-premise deployment. Okay? So all this is, yeah, sorry, go ahead. Great question. So that 500 terabytes is what the user or the cluster would see. Underneath the covers, you have technically up to 1,500 terabytes. But we only charge you for that single copy. It's just for our DR purposes, as well as to make sure that that data is always resilient, because we have SLAs on that integrity of that data. That's the reason why we do that triple replication by default. But you only get charged per gig per month. And right now, that rate, the list price is 2.4 cents. I think the going rate, if you're a SAN vendor, if you ever have ever purchased a SAN, I had a large genomics customer that purchased about 2 petabytes of SAN not too long ago. Yeah, that was well past six figures. This is 2.4 cents per gig per month. And this is what you use. That customer didn't have 2 petabytes right off the bat. They had only 100, but they knew that they were going to grow over time. And they knew that it would take 3 to 5 years to just get their storage replaced. So that's why they had to purchase right up front. But with the cloud, you're paying for what you use when you use it. So you may not know how much data that you have at the end, right? We give you 500 terabyte chunks, but you still pay for the per gig. So each storage account is 500 terabytes today. You could add 5 today, so you can have actually up to 2.5s by default, and that's growing. I don't have a whole lot of customers that are in the multiple petabyte range right now. I do have a lot of oil and gas customers storing seismic data, so you know that's where it gets into the petabyte range. But from that aspect, you only pay for what you use. So you know, if you want to start off small and start off with only 10 gig, that's your choice. And that's absolutely much, much more reasonable. And you can have a Hadoop cluster only charging you like $100 a month instead of, you know, that's definitely far cheaper than having a physical server that's costing you $1,000, you know, or $2,000. Okay, any questions there? Yeah, we do. So great question. We actually have a list of different performance metrics, and there have also been validated by some third-party benchmarks as well. Basically, the way that it works here is that as far as IOPS are concerned, like each blob, like each file, you can have about 500 IOPS just for that one blob. You can go up to about 20,000 entities or different types of objects per second. If you want throughput numbers, they're about 60 megabytes per second when it comes to just a single blob. So if you're trying to get a lot of data in, it's by that, and I'm sorry, a blob is a binary object.
So think of it as like a file or text file. It could be a zip file or anything like that. So it's really by that unit, by whatever that data structure that you're trying to save. Okay. And we do have a table of that, so it's a great question. And that's documented, by the way. If you ever go to azure.com/documentation, there's more information than you can ever read. But you could definitely do a quick search for some key terms if you're looking for, performance characteristics, SLAs, certifications, security type stuff. So there's a lot of information around that. Okay. So I've done part of this demo for you. And let me see if it refreshed. And then the second demo was basically creating a Twitter sentiment using HBase. So who doesn't use Twitter? Everybody uses Twitter? Okay, for the most part, everyone knows what it is, right? So, Twitter's more than just a repository for people to complain and take pictures of stuff that they eat. It's a useful tool by organizations, right, to get more information about you, right? What you're tweeting about, right? What you may like, what you may not like. They probably already know like your political stance by now based on your Twitter feeds and stuff like that, right? So there's a lot of data about you or about other people at least that companies could definitely find out more information about you. Twitter provides an API and it's open. They don't charge for some of this stuff, so you could basically get Twitter feeds. Essentially, that's what we're doing in this particular sentiment analysis here, is that we're basically plugging into Twitter, right? And Twitter is global. They have users all, and they have feeds coming into their data centers all across the world, right? And we're in HBase, since it's a very scale out, we can actually have HBase stores, repositories across the globe as well, since Microsoft has a global infrastructure. But we can stream those tweets, right? And figure out, okay, what's going on? What's hot right now? What's trending? So why do people care? Now you can relate that to those email campaigns that we were talking about, right? So say Pier 1 goes out, does some sort of campaign, and then people start tweeting about, hey, this rocks, hey, this thing is on sale, stuff like that, right? Now we can start doing some really cool stuff about, about that data that, seemed to be useless at first, but now it's actually very, very powerful. I'm actually running out of juice. So I am definitely looking forward to having more than 2 hours battery life. So I apologize. Give me 1 second. All right, I'm there. Okay. Why there's two screens? I don't know why. Project. All right, here we go. Okay, so this is a website of a tweet sentiment that runs on HD Insight. So this is live. You can go out to that actual website, tweetsentiment.azurewebsites.net. So we're taking another platform as a service capability within Azure, which is we're just creating a simple website, right? Once again, it could be Java, PHP, Ruby, Node.js, whatever. You could use anything that you want. This is a simple template that we're using, basically a Bing Maps overlay. We're plugging into HD Insight using HBase, grabbing those Twitter feeds that are happening right now. So I can pick whatever term, right, that may be going on Twitter right now, and you have the full source code on this as well, so feel free to use this as is. Let's just say, okay, well, for Ebola has been definitely something that's going on recently, right? If you're keeping track of it, there was an instance that has been reported in Dallas, right? So when I tried this earlier, right, so now it's grabbing the last 2 hours worth of tweets, and guess what? There's a hotspot in Dallas, right? So this is where the value of that data really becomes real, right? Now you're mapping this, okay? It may not just be just Ebola or something like that. This could go back to that email campaign and say, okay, where are my hotspots? Where are customers interested in this? And this is just a simple map, right? And this is just the U.S. I can expand this to Europe or to Asia, right? I'm sure there's maybe this is a hotspot for Ebola over here, so maybe you don't want to travel there, right? So this kind of gives you some real-world application, right,
of Twitter information that seemed pretty useless in the beginning. Now you're using a big data as a service, right? I didn't have to set up any of that stuff. You know, that took weeks and hundreds of consulting man hours to do that. I could just set this up in a day, and then I could just turn down the cluster whenever I'm done. Okay? Any questions there? Any terms that, this is a live website. Feel free to hit this on your laptop, on your mobile phone. Tweet sentiment.azurewebsites.net. This is a live website. So if there's any other term that anyone wants to use, I'll be happy to show it. Anyone want to try something? All right. I was wondering if there was any political, if you say, hey, let's see where the negative sentiment is of anyone in particular. So there's obviously a negative sentiment on Ebola, which is pretty obvious, right? So what if I had a particular senator or something I wanted to find out where he's popular or where he's not? So, there's definitely applicable things that you could use this data for, okay? All right, so I'm running out of time, but hopefully those demos were useful. How to get started is just portal.azure.com. As I mentioned, there's that OneDrive link. I'll be happy to send it to you again here in a little bit. There's multiple ways that you can get started. There's a 30-day free trial. What did I say? If you have an MSDN benefits, then this is actually month to month. You get certain like $200 for free. So if your company has an MSDN account, just tag on along that and you already have some free capacity. BizPark, so if you're a startup company, there's also funds available for that as well. I try to kind of seed Azure so you can develop whatever application that you want. If you're in a university, there's stuff for that. If you're fortunate enough, there's about 60% of the Fortune 1000s already have Azure on their Microsoft Enterprise Agreement. And these are large dollar figures, so you could definitely create a lot of infrastructure and platform services under there as well. So depending on your company, they already may have Azure. So Q&A, any questions? Is this useful?
Yes.
Cool. Everyone know what Azure and what HD Insight is now? Okay. Big data, it's Hadoop, on the cloud, it's open source. I know it's a little bit different. It's coming from Microsoft, right? Yeah. That's why I'm trying to be, I probably should have used OpenOffice too, just so I can complete the picture. But, so we're trying to be as open and as agnostic as possible. If you do want to get started on how to use it, here's a couple of quick things. So, the Twitter feed is just one way to do it. You could do also movie recommendations if you're trying to do any type of recommendation type stuff. Easy way to get started. So if you want to get that OneDrive link again, this presentation, the free passes are there as well. So aka.ms/RonCloudAustin, okay? I'm actually based in Houston. I'll leave some of my cards here. So if you're ever interested in doing anything big data as a service, please let me know. I'm not a sales guy. I'm a technologist, and my charter is to try to help enable customers consume these services. I see way too many customers that try to build their own stuff, and they get stuck, right? And they spend way too much money on this kind of stuff. So awareness is one of my charters. Make sure that customers are aware of these tools that are available, especially when they're free, right? Who didn't like free again? No, there was nobody. So thank you again for your time. So if you have any questions, just feel free to come up. Thank you.